Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mulligan Handley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. You heard the voice there of Porter Moser, the head coach at Loyola. Clayton Custer, Loyola Shotmaker. He was on. Both those guys have been on with us. And, of course, Steve Watson with the Bernstein and McKnight show. He was on yesterday, and he's talking about a program, not about a 1 year, a one-and-done year. And
the Loyola AD who's trying to get a contract extension for Porter. And, you know, to put the Loyola program in perspective, yesterday when they were meeting the media on the floor, they shared that Gentile Center with other programs. The women's volleyball team was on the court either before or after they were going to take the court.
Yeah.
And Ben Richardson was doing the media and had everyone around him. A volleyball came and hit him in the back of the head and stunned him for a second. He said, "That's going to be on the bloopers, right?" I mean, didn't miss a beat. But, you know, the big-time programs, and hopefully with their new facility that's going to be up and running, they'll have a dedicated space. But that tells you
I thought the dedicated space is for the volleyball team, too, because I thought the person, the Norville Center, I thought that was a volleyball player, Norville, right?
Yeah, but that
I'm just saying, I think that the new facility is going to
have different areas, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the new facility will take care of everyone.
My point is, right now, that tells you what, you know, a small program versus where you go to.
Oh, it's a mid-major program. It's not, you know, they don't have like tons of dedicated space on campus. It's actually, I don't know if anybody's been up there. It's a beautiful facility, a great place to watch a game. They also have a little bar down in the Centennial Forum area. It's really, I mean, it's beautiful. It's like really nice. I guess that's across from whatever. I mean, geez, they got a little movie theater in there. I haven't been there in a while. I went earlier in the year, and they have like a walkway through the Halas Center, get you to your car now. I mean, it's totally redone. But I thought that the new practice facility, we'll have to look at the plans, but I think they're building the practice facility.
Right.
It's over toward the lake, isn't it? And it's going to be shared by other sports. It's not just basketball. It's not a basketball center. They're you're lucky to have space to do everything. It's great. I mean, they've really upgraded a lot of the university, and it's, God, I mean, we used to walk down to the Charlotte Lounge, and it was, you know, you take your life in your hands going down there, and now that's all been redone. That place is closed, and it's,
you
know,
think?
I mean, I'm just saying, it's like you can walk down. Yeah, I mean, it's a nice area.
I mean,
God, it's really, they've done a great job of buying up everything that's not nailed down, and now they need to maybe not build one of the buildings so quickly, not the practice facility, and make sure Porter gets paid so that you can keep this thing going a little bit.
We had a texter who wondered if you're going to get a Sister Jean tattoo because he heard the tattoo convention commercial earlier in the show.
Yeah, he thought that if Loyola won, I should vow to have a Sister Jean tattoo.
And your response was?
I responded to the guy. I don't know. We need to get into it. I told him that the rumor was that she was getting a Mulligan Handley tattoo.
Win or lose. Yeah. Win or lose, she's going to have
the. She likes the show. No, I don't know what she's going to do. But I have never been tattooed, and I have no desire to be tattooed.
You've got strong thoughts on that.
I don't like tattoos. I told you. I mean, my thoughts. I read the book In Cold Blood. Have you ever read that? At the time, In Cold Blood, Truman Capote wrote the book, and it was kind of a new form of what would you call it? A new form of a new genre, let's say, of book, which was reportage, where he writes about this family in Kansas that got murdered by these two guys, and he went. You know, he may have fallen in love with one of them. I mean, who knows? But anyway, he wrote – it's a very powerful book, very scary book, and he traveled around the country and interviewed a lot of death row inmates. And he was asked in an interview if they had anything in common. And he said, yeah, they all had tattoos. And I don't know why, but that resonated with me when I was a young guy. And I've never gotten tattooed. And I always thought that it was a mistake to get tattooed. I mean, if you do ritual tattooing and you're, you know, in some, you know, I don't know, some kind of near the Pacific Ocean and your culture says, let's get a tattoo so you learn about pain, then I'd have been on board. But I don't know. I've just read too many things about what it means. I know everybody just has one and it's fun. It's like earrings, you know? I never got an earring. I'm not a pirate. I don't need a little gold on me. So if you find me when I drown, you can bury me. You know, I just never got it. So.
I just love the stories where the guy asked for a tattoo or they, you know, give him a choice and he said, I'll take that. Well, what does that one mean? And it's like Chinese characters and the guy tells, you know, it means, you know, love, last, peace forever, whatever. And then they find out after you get the tattoo, it means anything but that. So you just take the guy's word for whatever it is and now you've got body art. That's ostensibly permanent.
Yeah, exactly.
What about the T-shirt though? Getting back to Sister Jean.
Yes.
Did you get the link I sent you yesterday?
Yeah, I did get the link.
Did you look at it?
I did look at it.
What'd you think?
I thought it was really cute and
good
fun.
Idea. Good quick T-shirt.
Yeah, it's
idea.
Fun. Yeah. Yeah, I you know, unfortunately, another one of my problems. And my wife, you know, we are Amazon customers, and she gets all the kids their clothes online and all that stuff. I just don't like to order anything. I'd rather walk into a store. I'm an old man. I like to go to the bank. I don't like to go through the drive-thru.
Calling me an old man. I actually like to do it on Amazon because then here's the thing. If I walk into the store,
yeah,
I might buy
something else.
Several items.
Yes.
If I shop on Amazon, well, there are many things to buy on Amazon. I pick out that one item and boom.
I have like I feel like I go into the rabbit hole when I go online to buy something. I feel like next thing you know, I've watched an hour and a half of YouTube videos, you know. I've decided to go through YouTube and watch all their videos. I don't know how it happens, but it's like I find, you know, I've got a little obsessive compulsive disorder, just a little bit of one.
Nah.
And I find that when I when I get into something, I get terribly into it. Like if I read a book I like, I will read every book the author's written. That's a mistake because, you know, then you're, I don't know. I just get a little carried away. So I try to limit my exposure to such things. I don't have a problem. I'm a real, you know, I'm a real kind of, you know, hunter and collector. If I have to go buy something at the store, I go in and buy it and get out.
Yeah, you know,
I don't ever get distracted by it. Yeah. But online, I find it just, you know, I don't know. Once I get on the computer, I'm like, yeah.
So after you watch every YouTube video, then you go to California and become a YouTube star.
It's hard to go through all of them. It's really something
you gotta
stay away from. I don't think I could ever do anything like that.
Too much talent.
Yeah, I have not enough. Oh boy, yeah, you're taking a shot at the YouTubers.
Yeah,
my kids watch different YouTubers and find them amusing, and they think that's a lot of fun. I don't know. I've never been to one that likes it. Okay, here we go. 11 seeds have played 6 Sweet 16 games versus 7 or 10 seeds. 11 seeds have won 5 of the 6 meetings, including 2006 when George Mason. 2011 VCU both wound up reaching the Final Four. So 11 seeds don't actually win the tournament, but they do get to the Final Four. How about if Loyola went to the Final Four, would that be hilarious? Seriously. Wouldn't you just laugh your rear end off? It would just be so funny. I mean, it just would be so amusing. It's hard to believe that program could go to the Final Four. But guess what? They've already eliminated a 6 seed and a 3 seed, and now they play a 7 seed. I know, throw the seeds out. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying, on paper, this should be the easiest game. And they've won their first 2 games by 2 points, and when teams do that, they tend to win the 3rd game. There's some, you know, statistic out there. So it's not like they can't win this game.
This was my team. This was my school. I'd already have reservations down there.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Not Atlanta. I'm talking San Antonio.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would jump the gun.
I should get on that right now.
Right. Yeah.
But I told you.
You can always cancel them.
I like to, every 33 years or so, I like to just drive to someplace without a hotel room or anything, without a knowledge of how to get a hotel room, without a credit card, and with very limited capital, and just see what happens.
You end up with a tattoo.
Can I get in on the team meal? Yeah, exactly. You wake up in some... shady
text her.
You wake up in some like some bar in Panama with no idea how you got there.
Best tattoo ever, no regrets. Didn't know the guy was challenged on spelling.
I'm not against tattoos. I don't have any, you know, I'm not going to tell you my feelings on others. Others are allowed to have tattoos. I just personally don't want some barbed wire on my arms to prove I'm a tough guy. I don't need it. Because frankly, I don't think I could take the pain.
Well, and I always picture those arms when you're 85, if you're lucky enough to live that long. They don't,
I think it's okay if you're a sailor. If that helps. Get a giant anchor with the word mom
in it. So if you're
in
the Navy, it's okay. Like, it's okay for that, me for them to wear camouflage. If you're in the Navy, it's okay to get a tattoo.
Sure, why not?
No. You can't wear camouflage in the Navy. It just seems pointless.
The Marines do, because the Navy drags the Marines around, right? They deliver them. So,
the Navy drags the Marines around. Well, they deliver them. Right? Hey, I can't get a damn Uber. Call the Navy. You're a Marine, damn it. Mully and Hanley. We'll bring in Bruce next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of The Score. Bruce Levine is The Score's baseball expert, and he joins us from Arizona. And it's a cold day here in Chicago, Bruce, but it'll be a cold day in somewhere else before the what? What about Schwarber leading off? I thought we had decided that might not be a great idea. Is that okay?
Yeah, I don't think it's okay. I don't think you're going to see it very often, guys. It's something that he's just doing here to get at bats for people before spring gets out. But I don't think you'll see Schwarber leading off. I think it's going to be mostly Ian Happ and maybe Elmora sometimes too. Happ has had a great spring. He's going to get an awful lot of at bats, and I think he's the guy that's going to be there a good deal of the time unless Elmora is in the lineup.
So, how difficult is this decision, if it's difficult at all, to figure out the back end of the 25? Are they going to go with? I thought a couple weeks ago it seemed like all full speed ahead on eight bullpen guys and 13 pitchers overall, and now it seems like it's open for conversation.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of guys, you know, like Cort, who's done well in camp here, and Peter Burgess, who's a seasoned guy who can add. You know, the one thing that Joe likes about Burgess is that he adds speed. He's got a lot of speed. He plays all three outfield positions. Gives him a defensive center fielder who's as good as anybody. I mean, he's outstanding. So he might want to go with that. But, probably seven, but maybe eight, depending on the health of Strope coming out of spring training. That's the key is, he hasn't had enough reps right now, so there's a chance he'll start the season on the DL.
I guess when we talk about John Lester, we don't think about him as a leadoff candidate, but didn't he have a big hit yesterday?
He did, and then in his third at bat, he saw somebody that was throwing the ball over 100 miles an hour. He decided to keep the bat on his shoulder. But he had a great outing yesterday, and he's looked as good as anybody in spring training here. He's averaged over a strikeout an inning down here. He's got one more left before his start on opening day against Miami in Miami, and he'll pitch on Saturday. But he's been outstanding, and, again, his attitude as a leader has changed quite a bit too. I mean, with Lackey gone and Ross gone, the guys that were kind of protecting him as a friend and as a teammate, he's taken on a new leadership role with his team, and it's kind of fun to watch.
And Wilson Contreras, it was interesting to hear John Lester talk about their chemistry that's developed in relatively short order, right? I mean, no more idea of having to have a personal catcher, and whatever issues they or concerns that John might have had last year with a young Wilson Contreras behind the plate, seemingly are no longer there.
Well, why? You know, if you ask for a consensus in camp, who might be the MVP, not only the Cubs, but the league, you're getting a lot of people saying Wilson Contreras. And if he catches 130 ball games, and you saw what he did last year, missing a month and almost carrying the team all by himself for 6 weeks, after the All-Star game. This is a guy that has dynamite in his bat. And the one thing that's interesting to watch him right now is he's using right field like he's pulling the ball. I mean, he has tremendous power going the other way. You know, this is a guy that could hit 300 and hit 25 to 30 home runs and be right there in the MVP conversation. I think he was third on the team in RBI, and he missed a month. I think he finished two or three RBIs ahead of Brian. So, you know, all systems are go here, and that's why Lester, you know, not only loves him as a hitter, but, you know, has really taken to him as a pitch caller, and he's a lot more quiet behind home plate now. You'll see a Contreras who's maybe not going to be as bouncy as he has been in the past. He's got so much energy behind there, but, you know, Mike Borzell, the catching coach, has been working with him on staying more quiet, giving a lower target, and just giving, you know, keeping his energy, but keeping, you know, the target down there and the ability for the pitcher to relax a little bit more there as well.
Giolito throws today against the Rangers, Bruce. Is he going to be, you know, by the time the year is over, are we going to know what the White Sox future is in terms of their pitching staff? I mean, I know James Shields is starting. We've talked about Fulmer. You know, Gonzalez is just here basically to eat up some innings for a year. Maybe they move him later on. What do you make of this kind of pitching staff and what we'll see before the year's over?
Yeah, Mike, that's a great question because I was just talking to a friend about that before I went on the air and said, yeah, you want Shields and you want Gonzalez to have good years, but the concentration is, you know, is Giolito, you know, the real deal? Is Lopez the real deal? Will Kopech come up and Dunning come up, you know, over the rest of the year, maybe down toward the end of the season, and take some of those spots when Shields and Gonzalez are gone at some point? I think the number one thing for the White Sox this year is the progress of Giolito and Lopez. And Giolito's looked great. He's handled everything well. You saw what he did at the end of last year. And the number one thing that Giolito has done, which has been so impressive, is that he's thrown strikes. I believe in all of his starts combined last year, he only walked eight guys. And that's been a key for him because he had command issues when he was in the minor leagues. He comes up to the major leagues and he relaxes and he just throws his game. And his fastball has gone from 90 in the minor leagues last year to 93, 94. So the progress of those two guys is, I would say, right there at the top of their priority list this season.
All righty, Bruce. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up with you.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks,
all right,
Bruce.
Pal. We're going to bring in Mike Florio, but first let's get a scoreboard update with Kevbo.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley on the score. We love our chance to talk to Mike Florio. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
What's going on, guys?
Well, you know, we were talking about the trade that the Colts made and the Jets going up. And you know, I think they got a nice haul. It'll be good to see. They got to rebuild that team. They got the sixth pick. They got a couple more second rounders. But, you know, could you have gotten more when you got closer to the draft? Were you surprised how early they went off? And a team like the Jets, you know, apparently Cleveland's hanging on to the first choice. You know that the Giants would never trade with the Jets. So their only hope to get up is to get to number three. I don't know that you couldn't have held out for a little more. But, they know what they got, and they're moving forward. And it's a good haul.
Usually what happens in a case like this, you're not trading up for the spot. You're trading up for a player. Mm-hmm. So, and first of all, if you're doing that, you typically wait until the pick's on the clock because then you know the player's going to be there. I think the Jets had to move now or the Colts were going to trade that pick to someone else, possibly the Bills. So the Jets move up. They hold that spot. Now, everyone thinks they're going to take a quarterback. If they're going to take a quarterback, that means they already have come to the conclusion that there are three quarterbacks that they would be thrilled to have as their next potential franchise quarterback because they've now essentially invited pick one and two to be a quarterback, and I think the Bills may trade up with the Giants by the time it's all said and done and take their franchise quarterback. I think maybe the Jets are eyeballing Saquon Barkley, looking for a way to win now and save the jobs of Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan. You draft a quarterback, he gets stashed on the bench for a year or maybe longer. Look at what they did with Christian Hackenberg. So I don't know what the Jets are going to do, and I'm not sure. And this is, after I've had 3 days to think about it. You know, this thing came out on a Saturday morning. I think the Jets didn't want it to have maximum focus. I don't think they know yet what they're going to do. I don't think they've finalized their board, and there's different permutations, and I think there's still a chance they auction off that pick and they trade back down and end up with more later. Just like you said, the Colts could have gotten more later. Maybe the Jets flip this pick for a gain if they're not thrilled with whoever's there after the first two picks are taken. But I'm not sure that they've got their draft board set in stone, and why would they? They still have 6 weeks to go.
Well, that said, Mike, you know, Ryan Pace was trading up to one spot to get a player. He had Trubisky targeted all along. So in the rearview mirror from these couple moves already, how does that value play out? Did he overpay? You know, he was apparently competing against himself, and it looked like Trubisky was going to be there at three anyway.
Yeah, he gave up those couple of picks as insurance to get the guy that he wanted. And 3 second-round picks to move up three spots, that's a lot to give up. And what it does for me, it keeps bringing me back to this point that the NFL never wants to acknowledge, but I think it's smart business. If you're not going to make it to the playoffs, be as bad as you can be. Lose as many games as you can. The Jets were 5-11. The Colts were 4-12. Who cares? Right? Who cares if you're 5-11, 4-12, 3-13, 6-10? You're bad. You're not in the playoffs. So for the Jets, the privilege of winning one more game meant they had to give up 3 second-round picks to get in the draft spot that they would have been in if they had just been a little bit worse than they were. And it's the dirty little secret in the NFL. The incentive is there. The temptation is there. And it's smart business once you know you're not going to make it to the playoffs. Why in the world do you want to win football games? Because nobody is going to care if you were 4-12 or 5-11.
The Bears have won free agency or feel like they've won free agency. Does that translate usually in the league? I mean, I think Cleveland won free agency last year maybe, and boy, I don't think they won anything else.
Well, but look at who won free agency last year, ultimately. The Vikings and the Eagles, because the Vikings got Case Keenum for 1 year, $2 million, and the Eagles got Nick Foles for not much more than that. And look at how those two guys ultimately contributed. So, you know, a lot of the deals that are going to impact the 2018 season are deals that have yet to be done, the bargain basement deals for the guys who come in and end up being contributors. I don't think anybody has bought a championship in early March. Now, there are different reasons for going out and spending on free agents, but it's not to win a championship. And you see some Bears players that I think are being paid based upon potential, or at least assumption, that Allen Robinson is going to be healthy and he's going to be more like the guy that he was in 2015, not 2016, when he had a drop of more than 500 receiving yards. And I still don't know why that happened. And that's separate and apart from the recovery from the torn ACL. You've got Trey Burton, a guy that you're paying based upon the assumption that he can step up and be a starting caliber tight end and be a contributor and be the guy that he never got a chance to be because he was stuck behind Zach Ertz. So I think that there's a calculated risk there, but you've got the dollars to spend, and these are ways to improve your team. And you know, I'm not advocating sticking your head in the ground and not doing anything, but the idea that you're going to buy a championship team in March, we've seen time and again, it just doesn't work out that way. It's a combined effort to spend selectively, overspend on a couple of guys, underspend on a couple of guys, make some good draft picks, see who else is out there, hope you have the depth so when the inevitable injuries happen, you have contributors who can come in and play, and then we get to September and it all shakes out.
And when you sign guys this early, Mike, you usually have to overpay to get them, but at least the guys the Bears are getting are in the prime of their career. They're not 30-plus guys. They're actually, you know, 26, 27, 24 in a couple of cases. They're getting younger.
Oh, absolutely.
Players.
But there's still a calculated risk involved that Robinson's not going to. I mean, look, the Jaguars didn't bring him back for a reason. And they had full and complete and exclusive access to this guy throughout his rehab. And they've had him for 4 years. And they didn't want to pay him what the Bears paid him. And so you just have to wonder, did they get it wrong here? Or are you getting it right? And when there aren't a lot of high-end options available in free agency and you need weapons to get the most out of Mitchell Trubisky, you know, I guess it's worth the risk. It was either Allen Robinson or Sammy Watkins, and beyond that, the receiving cupboard was pretty bare.
You know, interesting to hear John Elway say they got the guy they always wanted in Case Keesum.
Case Keesum didn't
even know his name. but now, you know, speculation is that the Broncos will take Quentin Nelson at number 5, and he won't be a selection for the Bears, available to the Bears at 8, assuming the Bears keep their pick. Is he now kind of the key player as to after the three quarterbacks go in the top 5? Depending on where Nelson goes, then you figure out the rest of the top 10.
One quick point on Case Keesum. Wouldn't it have been great if he would have gone to the microphone and said, "Thank you very much, Mr. Amway"? I mean, it's just the best way, you know, just the best way to twist it back around on him. But Quentin Nelson's getting a lot of buzz because of the value of interior offensive linemen. We are learning more and more that it's not the left tackle. That ship sailed. Because the defenses are smart enough to avoid the great blocker. Okay, they got a great left tackle. Let's put our pass rusher on the other side. Oh, wait, they got a great right tackle. Let's put our great pass rusher in the middle and crush the guards in the center. So Nelson's going to be in play. I think that Bradley Chubb will be in play, a great young pass rusher. Wow. He had his pro day workout yesterday. I think he met with five. His agent told me he met with 5 teams Sunday night and Monday, and they all pick in the top 7. So, and there was a great clip of Bill Belichick coaching him up, saying, "Yeah, we're not going to be there. You're not going to be there when we
pick 31. He's like, "Oh, it's so great to meet you." And he's like, "Don't worry, we're not going to be there at 31. That was hysterical.
but you know, Saquon Barkley is a wild card in all of this too, because some, you know, we're only 2 weeks removed from the scouting combine where everyone's saying, "Oh my God, this guy could be the number 1 overall pick." And 2 weeks later, it's like we forgot that we felt that way.
Yeah.
And whether it's the Jets at 3, the Broncos, I could see pounce on him at 5. They've had inconsistency in their running game, and what better way to get the most out of Case Keesum than to add a great running back to that mix?
Mike, you're the best. Thank you. We appreciate it.
See you guys.
Thanks,
that
Mike.
Is Mike Florio. That's hysterical.
Yeah. Don't.
He's so funny.
Do you believe for a second that's the guy they targeted? No, that's the guy they ended up with.
Well, if you can't even read the guy's name that's in front of you, I mean, I don't think it was who they targeted. The guy they always wanted, but. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, free agency is a fascinating case study because, you know, when you're kind of bargain hunting and when you can fill some spots, you're in great shape. When you are the winner, when you're going after the big name hunting, that gets problematic. But we'll see. You know, they need a big draft and they need more picks. So I'll be very curious to see what they do. Hey, Brian, you know, look at some of these mock drafts. If these quarterbacks are all going off the board, the Bears could wind up with a hell of a player at the number 8 pick. So it's pretty interesting. There's, you know, the kid from Alabama. There's the, you know, you talk about Barkley. Chubb could never fall that far.
No.
Not with a
pass. And doesn't look like Nelson's going to fall that far. And Edmonds is 19, so linebacker, you know, is he – can you make something out of him that he's not right now currently?
I like him a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's a good
Fitzpatrick,
that would be a good
pick. You know, the safety.
He's a hell of a player,
I don't think he's going to be there. But
yeah, I don't think he will either. But, I mean, that would be a great – you know, that's – what you need is frontline talent.
Yeah,
you need Pro Bowl players.
Yeah, right.
312-644-6767 is the number. We're actually going to have transition next. We're going to talk to Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight. It's Mully and Haley on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.